Good morning, everyone. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, which we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question and or comment to our guest. We'll get to our guest in just a moment. But first of all, did want to remind you that it is Election Day, and as we began the morning, voter turnout was just over 26%. So finish up that ballot, get it into one of the many drop boxes around the county. There are seven or eight of them, so it's easy to get to them. So let's get that percentage up a little bit once again. And you can hear your vote count tonight because I'll be at the courthouse about 7:30 with an advanced report on what we expect to happen, and another report live at 8 o'clock right after we get the results from the county clerk. So that's our plan tonight, followed up about 8:30 with Alex right here on KAJO Radio. Now, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. General in charge of the parks and the fairground and about everything. Welcome, Benedict.
Thank you so much.
Did I give you a new title today?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, it keeps changing, but officially they tell me it's recreation director.
Tamara Martin, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. And we're just right now on the cusp of getting everybody outdoors, and yeah. I have a great forecast. So what's happening in the parks? Is everything all ready to go?
So we have been really working hard to get things going. There's actually a lot of things happening in our county parks. And, you know, I'm really just thrilled to be here to have the opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening. I think one of the things that really kind of confuses people, and I have a lot of conversations about it, what's the difference between a county park and a city park? Like, what are we talking about here?
Location.
Yeah, well, location and ownership, really, and who's maintaining those parks. And that's really kind of the biggest piece that is different. So when we talk about county parks, we're talking about Tom Pierce Park, Schroeder Park, which are parks that are close to town. But then we're also talking about Indian Mary, Lake Selmac, Wolf Creek, White Horse. So there
gets a little widespread.
It gets a little widespread. And so there's definitely a lot out there. And in addition, you're looking at the boat ramps, Chinook, you know, some of those Schroeder Park has a boat ramp, Lathrop Park. So there's a lot of different areas, and I'm just naming a few, but that really identify as county parks versus, you know, what somebody might expect from a city park right here at Riverside, which of course is a beautiful park as well. So when we talk about the county parks, that's what we mean, is the ownership of the land itself and who's managing it.
Right. Not Riverside, but Griffin.
But Griffin. Yes. Oh, yeah. Griffin is going to be a hot spot this weekend.
This weekend it is, yes.
Yeah, Griffin Park. Is a beautiful place. We do open it up for some gravel bar camping, which is something that is not done year round. So people are pretty excited about that. And as well as just, we have updated the tent loop in Schroeder Park, and there's tent camping right along the river. It is gorgeous down there. So there's some really great opportunities to get out, enjoy the river, watch the races, and just make some family memories.
You can watch it. You can also listen to them right here on KJO, folks. There's
there you go.
A little self-promotion here, shameless. What can I tell you?
Yeah. So we've got some really great things. You know, we obviously have Memorial Day weekend. Our campgrounds are ready for the community to be coming in. And we're excited about welcoming that, as well as our tourists that are coming through. We have a really fun event coming up that is really the first for our county parks. And I don't want to say ever, because that's a long time, but a really long time. And they're called Family Night Lives. And what this is Tom Pierce Park. We have the beautiful new playground, of course. And right next to it is this green area near the river. And we're going to set up some family night entertainments. We do have live concerts that will be going. We have three of these weeks that we're going to do it, starting June 11th. And so there will be live music. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be what you would expect from that. But where we're going to be really different and what we're really excited about is that this is for those younger families that have kids. There's going to be kids entertainment.
So it's family entertainment.
It is family. We have different themes. So the first theme is going to be country night. We, of course, have a country music artist, which will be coming in. But we also have Farm Life Petting Zoo coming in.
Oh, really?
You know, we have activities and different things that are going to relate back to the actual theme of each night. And really what our hope and our goal is to get our younger families out together. So they're not taking the kids somewhere and the kids are like, I'm bored. And they're not going somewhere sitting on their phones because they're bored.
Getting them off of those screens.
Absolutely. So we really think that we've created a nice, well-rounded event that not only are the kids going to have a really great time, but so are the parents. And so we're just so thrilled to be doing this. We, Evergreen Federal Bank, of course, made it possible for us to be able to come out and make this happen. There won't be any parking fees for the events. So this will truly be a free event for people coming in.
So no fees whatsoever for this event.
No, well, unless you're going to buy a hot dog or something.
Well, that's it.
But yes, but no, once you're in there, it's just going to be come in and experience it and have a really great time with your family. So we're really excited. The first theme, as I mentioned, is Country Night. That's June 11th. June 18th is going to be Hero Night, and we're looking forward to
Hero Night.
Hero Night.
You have to wear a costume.
Everything. Well, you can.
Okay.
In fact, I would love it if you did. We have Trevor Hanks coming in, and he is going to be performing. He has hinted he might be in a Batman costume. I don't know.
Okay.
We do have Spider-Man coming as well, but we're also going to really be highlighting our local first responders. We have the Young Marines are going to be there. So you're going to see a wide variety. That third theme is Dynomite, which is for dinosaurs. And we are very excited. We're going to have a prehistoric egg hunt, and we're talking about dino races, and that's going to be with the Lack family. And so this is really just about coming in and having a great time with your family.
Sounds like a great spinoff from a county fair. From things that wouldn't happen there at the fair you could put out there.
Absolutely. And it's just to create more activities and more opportunities for families to be coming together and having a great time.
Okay. But it's free.
But it's free.
Who's paying for it?
Evergreen Federal Bank.
Thank you, Evergreen.
Thank you, Evergreen. Yes, we are so thrilled. They're just incredible community partners, not only with the parks, but with the fair as well. And so many other activities and events. So when we really started talking about that, they were so excited and jumped on board and took a, hey, we've got an idea, into let's make it a really great idea. And so this is going to be a really fun experience. We're hoping that it becomes an annual event. We are clearing out areas for extra parking and looking forward to welcoming.
All right. What are the dates again? People want to write these down.
Yep. So they're going to be Thursday nights starting June 11th. Mm-hmm. So June 11th, 18th, and 25th.
Okay.
Yep.
Great night at the park.
Great night at the park. Yeah. And so another thing that's kind of happening out in the parks right now is we are nearing the finish line for White Horse renovations. This is something that has been talked about for a lot of years.
This has been going on, and we're close to the finish line.
We are close to the finish line.
So what's it going to look like?
We went back and to the drawing board. We had a lot of feedback from the community about trying to keep the tree cover that was there. So we actually redesigned that plan and really worked with the feedback that we were receiving. And so we have kept with that original footprint, but are bringing in 5 full hookups, 5 partial hookups, and then tent camping as well. And by sticking with the design that was there already, and we're just going to add one road, we were able to significantly, I think maybe instead of 300 trees we only had to take 12, and most of those were for ADA access and making sure that we had some safety type stuff. So we were really thrilled by what we were able to do, and that we're expected to have that open this fall to the public. And we have been working with some of our local RC groups, which is the remote control cars and really trying to build some tracks for them into our landscaping of our park out there.
Really? Okay.
So that we can really give them an opportunity to have a place to come in and day use. But man, that is a whole new world out there. This is not the, 1999 Radio Shack car that you're getting. These things are pretty incredible in what people can do. So I think I just aged myself by saying that.
But no comment.
Yeah, no comment. No,
I'm going to be very quiet here.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're really excited about what that is going to do. White Horse is the first park that the county ever owns. This is the park that put us in the park business. And so we're really excited to kind of get out there, breathe some fun life into that park, and just kind of reintroduce, this little favorite that used to be for our community. So that's wrapping up as well.
It's still a great spot. You still have good access while all this is going on out there. I've been out there several times just for photo shoots, for graduations, and what have you. So
absolutely. This is only the upper phase that's blocked off currently right now. It has been, actually, that area has been closed for quite some time. And so this will be getting that spot back open. But yes, day use is still available and open, as well as that river access.
Okay, we're talking parks right now with Tamara Martin. Take a deep breath, folks. We'll be right back because I have to pay some bills, and then we'll continue. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress right now. Our guest today, Tamara Martin, Recreation Director for the Josephine County. And we were talking about some of the parks here and talking about White Horse. But as we come into this, it's park season, really, isn't it? It's time to take advantage of all these parks.
Yeah, it is park season. And, we have an incredible team. I mean, I am blown away every day by the dedication of not only our park rangers, but our volunteer base as well. We could not, there's no way we could do what we do without them. That includes not only our park hosts, but volunteer groups that come and help have work days and spread chips and help clear trails. And, there is just such a real community commitment and dedication to our parks. That's fantastic. Indian Mary Park, I want to touch on it briefly because it's such a gem in our park system and in our community.
It's really the jewel, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you have people that have been going to Indian Mary for so long, and they have so many lifetime memories out at that park. And so it's a beautiful space right on the river there. And I'm going to throw out, which is kind of an oddity, I actually have a park host position out there open right now.
Really?
Really. And so
at Indian Mary?
At Indian Mary. And it is an absolute gem. So if you, if anybody in your audience is interested in, camping for the summer, we would definitely love to chat with you. But Indian Mary, we have such a variety of parks that really, from the campgrounds like Salmac, Indian Mary, obviously, Alameda, which is really more rustic and just a really big popular park for those rafters that are going down the river.
It's a little further down.
It's more rustic. Yeah. If you don't want to go glamping, okay, and you really prefer something a little bit more remote, that is the park for you.
It's been to Alameda Park. I love it out there.
Yeah. It's just beautiful out there. So we have a lot of really, really neat things happening. And I just want to give a shout out to the team because they work so hard to make sure that the parks are enjoyable for the community. And they take the feedback just to heart. Someone was chatting about, this bridge, my dog can't cross it because it's got holes and it's a little metal bridge. They were on it. They put mats out on there, secured that now, so they want to hear that feedback, and they're very responsive in doing what we can to make sure that our parks are reflective of our community.
You mentioned volunteers. Do you have enough?
Never.
Okay.
Yeah, never.
I want to volunteer.
Yeah.
What do I need to do, and what qualifications do I need?
I don't think anybody needs necessarily qualifications. I think that, I think the biggest piece is really about customer service and being a team player. And the rest of it can kind of build. There's a lot of different opportunities that look different for all sorts of different types of people, skills, physical abilities. And so there's a lot there that can be done. But, you know, for us, really, we want to make sure that the people coming into our community are leaving with a positive experience, right? We want them to be able to, one, come back, and two, you know, I hear people all the time, like, I was traveling through, vacationing, visiting, we had so much fun and loved it so much, we moved here. And so we want to make sure that anybody that we are bringing in is really reflective of that and making sure that we're maintaining that positive experience for users.
Right. Using the parks right now, I know you really need reservations for Indian Mary.
Yes.
Sometime in advance. I don't know how far out you're booked. What about the other parks?
Yeah, so reservations are absolutely recommended. We have a couple, White Horse and Shorter, that are, the reservations are required. You can go in and show up and, you know, in the other parks and the other campgrounds and look to see what's available in camp. So I don't want to deter anybody from the ability. You know, if you really want to go to the lake for the weekend, there's a possibility. But when you get busy weekends like Memorial Day and the holidays, you're going to want to make that reservation, especially if you have like a bigger RV or you're looking for something really specific, or if you have a favorite site, you're going to want to reserve that in advance.
All right. I know one favorite site out there for a lot of people this weekend for boat racing, Medicine Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to find a spot. You can't reserve out there, can you?
For which one?
At Bentley Bend. Is that Medicine Park? Do I have that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So anything that you're going to go in, you're not going to make reservations out in that park. The reservations are going to be for the larger campgrounds. But it really is going to be the space where the river is a huge draw. And so getting out there early is absolutely going to be key.
All right. So is that all you got about parks? Is that it?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm happy to talk more, or I could talk about the fair coming up.
There is that coming up here.
Yes.
And we're getting ready for the fair, and it's a different time this year.
Actually, it's the same time.
Oh, same time.
Same time as last year. But it
time
feels,
flies when you're having fun. So it was new to me last year.
Yeah. Well, so officially we are the first weekend in August. And so that throws people a little bit, because for years, like last year and this year, our fair kickoff is July 29th. And so that definitely feels a whole lot earlier for people when I say July. But it really is right around that first weekend in August. And sometimes that's just going to be the way the calendar falls. Next year, it'll be into August. So it's kind of one of those things. We did it for a couple of reasons. Number one, we had a lot of kids that are involved in school sports that are also involved in our livestock programs. And, you know, they were getting stuck into position where they weren't
able
to
choose one or the other.
Yeah. And we didn't want that for those kids. We really wanted them to be able to kind of experience everything and have a really well balanced, you know, opportunity in summer and life. And so, that's why we moved it. But then we were really up against the Roseburg, the Douglas County Fair. And, you know, we don't want to be on the same weekend. We're too close. We know that some of our people are going up there and some of their people are coming down here. So we wanted to make sure that we were on separate weekends. So that's why we are now officially the first weekend in August.
All right. Do you coordinate with the other fairs? Is there communication?
Oh, absolutely. We talk, actually, all of us talk monthly. And that's just as a fair, Oregon State Fair Manager Roundtable, just to kind of chat with each other, ideas share, really offer support on what somebody might be facing. We have a really strong group with the Oregon Fairs Associations, and they have been really instrumental in kind of bringing us all together and advocating for us through the legislation, which this last short session was a huge win for fairs. And I can talk a little bit about that if you want to. But there's just a lot of real coordination and cooperation. It's not a competition. So we want to be supportive of each other.
Yeah, we also want to win.
Of course.
Right.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, what sets our fair apart?
I think that the biggest thing is that we've really won for local is we have the free gate admission, right? Our neighbors still are charging their gate admissions going in. And for us, what that means is we really wanted to create an event that everyone in the community did not have that immediate barrier going in. Like, You are absolutely welcome to come bring the family and come for multiple days. And that's the feedback that we've been getting, especially from the younger families. They're like, ugh, I come in one day and we do all of the animals and the statics. I come in the next day and come in and do the rides. And then, you know, and so they're mapping it out because now they can come multiple times instead of just burning out hours in the heat with the kids. They're able to really make it work better for them. And so I'm really proud of that. I think that is a very reflective of our community and our desire to, you know, serve the community and make sure that everybody has those opportunities. The other piece that I think is really great is a lot of fairs are really struggling with what we call the static entries. Those are your quilts and your jams and your photography and your tomatoes and all of the things that people do and find in our buildings.
Well, that's what fairs are all about, isn't it?
That's what they're all about. And fairs around us and in the state are struggling getting participation. Whereas, you know, obviously COVID did what COVID did, but we've been back on the rise and those numbers are starting to really fill back up and our departments are really starting to fill back up. And that again is coming from the dedication of our volunteers because our fair superintendents, they don't receive pay. They are volunteers and they are dedicated to make sure that the people that are showcasing in those different areas and talents have a really neat experience. And on top of it, we've really made a big push and dedication to make it welcoming for kids. Like we want kids to come in and experience. So we have the fair favorite food cook-off, right? That is a competition for kids and an adult. We need an adult there, but that to experience cooking. To get in, you know, we have superintendent that will be in there and she'll be baking bread as a demonstration, you know, of this is how it works. So there's just a lot of those type of things, demonstrations from the community, getting kids in hands on. Our farm and garden is great. You know, lots of opportunities for the kids to dig in the dirt. And so we're really just focusing on creating an experience within those different buildings that will allow other people to not just admire the work that, you know, of our very talented community, but go, I can do that. And that's what we're trying to get. We want that little moment where it's a kid or an adult that says, oh, I can do that. And then start to experiencing something new.
All right. Those are some of the things that you want to look for coming up in the fair right now. I want to point out one thing here. You did say that there is no admission charge to get into the fair. Let's footnote that, and this is probably kudos to you, because the fair is self-sustaining. It receives no public funds.
Yeah, well, local tax funds. We do receive some funding from lotteries, and that was kind of our big win from this last short session. But we do not receive local tax funds.
Nothing comes out of a public fund from the county.
No. Okay. Yeah. And that is definitely something that we're proud of.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned because she'll stay here for another half hour. You're listening to KAJO. It's a Tuesday talk show and news coming up here in a moment. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. If you have a question or comment for our guest, by all means, give us a phone call. It's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you pose that question to Tamara Martin today, Recreation Director for Josephine County. Just before we get right back, I want to make another reminder that today is election day. This morning, percentage of turnout was just over 26%. I'm embarrassed, ladies and gentlemen. So get out and vote. There's plenty of time to do that. Shall I put you on the spot and ask, have you voted yet, Tamara?
Oh, yeah. I vote early. I like to do it, get it done and over with, and then I don't think about it
anymore. And I have to worry about it. Me too. The first week, I'm done.
I know. People talk about, the late surprises. Well, it's too late for me because as soon as I get my ballot, it's usually in within about 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, I get to hang out in the courthouse at night, and I see people running into the courthouse and dropping their ballots off at 7:59. So, yeah. But by all means, do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think most importantly, I think it's important that people participate and vote. You know, I hear a lot of, oh, it won't matter. It really does, especially in our local elections. It makes a really big difference, and be heard. Be part of the process.
I'm going to take part of your time right now and share a story.
Sure.
And this is current right now. This is happening. I grew up in Nebraska, and in that county right now, there is a tie for one of the positions.
Oh, my goodness.
350 votes to 350 votes. So one vote counts.
One vote counts.
Now, are you ready how they're going to do this? Of course, there's a recount.
Okay.
And if it's and if there's still a tie, according to under Nebraska law, even you can decide it even with a single hand of poker. Honest.
Okay. I believe it, actually.
A coin toss also works.
A coin toss.
But that's written in the law. All right. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, go out and vote now. In the meantime, we've been talking about your parks and all of the things going on right now.
Yeah.
And we're talking, let's see, where were we talking about money and stuff? Where were we?
What was that question?
Where did we leave off here?
Okay. Yeah. So, we are definitely in. We had a really nice win for the fairgrounds. I'll jump to the fairgrounds real quick. The short session. One of the things that has been written into legislation is that the fairgrounds is actually supposed to receive 1% of the lottery funds, and the state went in, they were having some financial troubles back in the early 2000s. And so the Oregon Fairs Association and the fairs actually voluntarily said, hey, we'll take a limit on what you give to us to help the state get back on track. And all of that was supposed to be like this real, like, we're going to give back. And then everything was supposed to revert back in, like, I think it was 2012.
Amazingly how that happens. Yeah.
Amazingly
forget about it.
How that happens. And here we are back in, 2026 and still having that conversation, trying to get that cap removed. And so what that really represents for the fairgrounds is about $250,000 a year in state lottery funds that come into the fairgrounds that could be used.
That's for Josephine County.
Yeah, that is per fair. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, there have been some changes. We had a really great win this last short session where they got put into what they call the Christmas tree bill, where everything kind of gets put in together. And the really great part is we've been lobbying for years, testifying about what we do for our communities, because a strong, healthy fairgrounds absolutely is an economic leader. And so we really just talked a lot about what we can do for the smallest of businesses and what we bring into the communities, not just for the economic development piece of it, but emergency preparation. Man, I'm struggling today. and all of those things that really make a difference. So we had not presented a bill this short session. We really just were going up and thanking them for some of the additional things that, have been coming up and support they've been giving to fairgrounds throughout the last few years. And right there at the end, they were willing to put that in. So right now, as it stands, the fairgrounds should be receiving that full 1%. And we won't really know until February what that is actually going to net for us on a local level, because now the state fair is also a part of that conversation. So when it all comes down, but have historically been getting $53,000 a year. I budget just under $200,000 a year for utilities for the fairgrounds. So that $53,000 doesn't really go very far in today's world.
No, it doesn't. But at any rate, you're talking about what an economic driver the fairgrounds is, because it's a year-round operation. Do you have any numbers on the financial impact it has on this community?
Not on this one specifically. I know that the Oregon Fairs has done some kind of widespread on what it brings into the states, but they've really narrowed it down in a way that is kind of tough for a sell in our community. But here's what I can tell you. The fairgrounds last year had 951 events and activities on it, and that does not include the soccer fields. So that's its own little entity in the corner. And so that is a wide variety of everything from a birthday party to growers market, and literally everything in between. And what is really great about that is that every single one of those events and activities is an exchange of some sort of service or money in our community. So when you have like a vendor sale, and if they have 40 small businesses coming in and selling their wares, whatever they may be, that is money that is just generating right back into our community and staying local. And that's where these, you know, fairgrounds can come in and play a really important role in supporting small businesses.
All right. Did the horse racing enter into those numbers you just said?
The races themselves do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we have a really great relationship with horse racing. They've got some fun, exciting stuff that they're working on right now, too.
They're really talking about doing some renovations out there, aren't they?
They are. They've just launched their, they're calling it Racing to a Brighter Future campaign. And it's really focusing on the grounds themselves, which, of course, for the fairgrounds is fantastic because we are their grounds. But really looking at the grandstands and the winner's circle and what racing can be for our community. Horse racing is an absolute, you know, just, it is an economic driver. And, you know, they have some really great numbers. If you go to their website, that talks about what one racehorse will bring into a community when it's here racing. And because it's not just, oh, the horse is here. It's the trainers, it's the owners, it's the riders, it's all of the different things that kind of come along into this big circle. So there is a wide reach of what the fairgrounds touches once we're in the community.
All right. Didn't mean to get off on a tangent there, sorry. But that was interesting. And I think a lot of people need to know that it's always a fun place to go. There are always some great events out there.
Yes.
But it is an economic driver here in the community that we would sorely miss.
And, you know, I'm really thrilled. I just learned yesterday there was a recent survey done in our community. So I think it was 77 businesses were interviewed, and the fairgrounds ranked the highest for county services, for, you know, trust within the community. And so I'm so thrilled and excited about what we've been able to do. Now, we're in the position right now in the next, honestly, 3 years, we're not done. Like, we're in the space that we are now in a position where, you know, you're going to start seeing the physical changes on the fairgrounds, because we're going to be able to start accessing some of the interest from the sale of the former Flying Lark and really start reinvesting that back into our fairgrounds. And so we've just gotten started, which is really an exciting place to be after, you know, I've been with the county about 8 years. So it's really a neat spot to be in right now for the fairgrounds.
Oh, there's no question about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Tamara Martin here. Number to call is 541-472-1270. If you have a question, a suggestion, a comment, or an idea on how to improve, let us know. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Tamara Martin, Recreation Director for Josephine County. It's 541-472-1270 if you have a question or a comment. And, you know, we really haven't had much. We've just really touched barely on the fair.
I know. And we got to talk about the fair before I leave. I am so excited about our fair coming up this year. So McCaslin Rodeo, he is the promoter that does our big April rodeos every year. He is going to be coming back and kicking things off for opening night of fair with a full rodeo on that Wednesday night. Thursday night, we have country music artist Clay Walker. He is fantastic. And we are so thrilled that we were able to bring him in. Now the VIP is sold out already.
Sold out already.
Yes.
Okay.
But our general admission is still going. Now, here's what's really fun. Southern Oregon Sanitation, Evergreen Federal Bank have come in and helped sponsor this event, which means our fair theme this year is Home of the Brave, celebrating 250 years of heroes.
Absolutely.
And so our general admission for the Clay Walker is $17.76. So we really, everything that we're going to be doing is going to be circling back into the celebration of our country for our fair this year. And that is the most certainly a fun one. And then for Friday and Saturday night, we have the Monster X trucks that are going to be coming back to Josephine County.
Monster X. Okay.
Yes. And that is something that anytime I went out to a survey earlier in this year, just to get some feedback, we were setting goals for the fairgrounds year round, as well as the fair event. Overwhelmingly, what people wanted were the trucks back. It wasn't even close to the second. And so we are really excited to be bringing them back. And that will be Friday and Saturday in the grandstands.
So two nights of trucks, yep. Great country music.
Yep.
And a big rodeo.
A big rodeo.
Wow.
And then on top of that, we, of course, have our free stage. We've got some really great acts. We've got a variety of, you know, regional as well as, you know, a larger act. His name's Justin Lawrence. He's kind of up there fighting his way on the country music scene right now. He's a former radio guy himself. The Rogue Suspects will be coming in and performing a Santana show for us one evening. But we also have in our free entertainment section, we have the Powers Circus. We are actually going to have a circus tent during the fair.
You're really?
Out on our grounds.
Where are you going to put it?
We're going to put it back behind the carnival rides. There's going to be a section between the carnival rides and the arena. So it's going to be right on there, which is a really great spot for our Kids Alley, which is our really just kind of free area for our young toddler kids, younger kids, and usually their moms that are ready for a break. Annie the Clown is leading that charge there. But we also have Barnyard Racers, and this is also another really fun one that people love. And that's when the animals get out and they have different races. And we've had pig races in the past, and this is kind of it expanded it to the other farm animals as well. And then, of course, you've got the strolling acts. So I think we have a stilt walker this year, and we've got a guy that's going to be flinging fire around. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited.
Going to be crazy for the fair.
It's going to be crazy.
July 29th.
July 29th. So that's kickoff. July 29th through August 2nd is where is fair week for us this year. And 11 a.m. on Wednesday. Now, keep in mind, what's something when people talk about the fairs, you got to talk about the livestock auction.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that we're so excited. If you have not been to a livestock auction and you just happen to be like, I'm curious, we are a great auction to come and watch because we have a beautiful opening ceremony that really is just so incredible to see. And we have, you know, hundreds of kids. There's, I think it's 250. Don't quote me on that. I'm close. But, and they're all there and they've worked so hard to get to that place. And it is just a neat space. We do it in our big covered arena and people can just sit in the bleachers and watch. You don't have to bid. You don't have to you don't have to do all of those things to really be a part of just a really neat experience. So that is going to be Friday night affair. And I believe they're going to be starting that at 5:00. But if you do want to fill your freezer, it's a tax write-off.
There you go.
And you're going to get some quality meat that you're going to really enjoy. So you can register that on boatnik.com is where you can register to do that because our partner is Active Club. So we're really thrilled to have them as well.
Those guys get around, don't they?
They do.
They're everywhere.
They do. They show up everywhere. I know they're a little busy this weekend, but
quite frankly, a little self-promotion here. They'll be in here tomorrow morning at this same time here.
Fantastic.
Gary Wallace and Jim Thompson will be here talking about what's going on at Boatnik and what all that they've done. So tip of the hat, guys.
Yeah, they do a great job. You can get a shuttle at the fairgrounds as well to get into Boatnik. So we have a really great relationship working with them. They're great community partners as well. The other thing is just really, I'm just going to say, you know, come to the fair because if you haven't been in a long time, it's all different. We have a new carnival company. We have the buildings are filled. There's lots of opportunities for air conditioning. We have golf carts that run out into the parking lot, pick people up and bring you in. Like we're doing everything and we can to try and make sure that you have a positive experience and have fun. And, you know, one of the things that we're really looking at is how do we represent our community? And that's what actually makes the fair different than Boatnik. Boatnik is an amazing event and festival in our community. But where the fair is different is the fair is made up of the people from our community. They're the ones who make the fair happen. There are local kids that have the animals. There are local people and artists and chefs and photographers that are filling our building. We have a lot of local vendors as well. We do have some that will come and travel through. But overall, it is such a large representation of who we are as a community that it is just, it's awesome. And you'd be surprised at how many people you will run into that you know.
And you only see them once a year at the fair.
At the fair.
At the fair.
Yes. My favorite story was the very first year on fair. I was running golf carts. It was great because nobody knew who I was at all at that point. And
we saw you out there.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was running people out and I was talking to this couple and I was asking you, what do you like? What do you not like? Give me some feedback. You know, gives me an opportunity to know where I still need to improve. And they were, you know, my age and which is in the 50s, but you know, chatting with them, and they had met back in high school at the fair, and they come every year to celebrate the fact that's how they met. And so it's not just about a festival. It's part of our community.
It's community. No doubt about it. You don't have any much enthusiasm that shows through on the fair at all. All right.
I do.
We just really barely touched on parking and shuttles.
Yes.
Can you add more details on?
Yeah. So parking, if you want to park on the fairgrounds, it starts at $10. So keep that in mind. If you want to shuttle, we have a free shuttle that runs from RCC into the fair. So if you want the free shuttle, that's where you're going to go to grab that.
Okay. Out at Rogue Community College.
Yep.
Okay, and do we have established hours for those yet?
Not yet. All of the hours, all of those things will be on our website as we get a little bit closer, as well as the full schedule from, you know, all of our performances, all of the different demonstrations that are happening, the livestock shows, if you're interested in those, all of those things will be coming to our website soon. Right now it's just kind of a little bit of a hint of, you know, what's coming our way.
Okay, the website, once again,
JosephineCountyFairgrounds.com.
Okay. Now, we've covered a lot of ground here today quickly, and we're down to about my last 5 minutes here.
Okay.
So, really, what do people need to take away from this? First of all, parks and then the fair. What do people really need to know right now?
I'm going to say for parks, the biggest piece is to know that our campgrounds are open and amazing, and you don't have to go far to have a fantastic camping experience with your family. We're right here. And, you know, we mentioned Annie and Mary and Griffin Park and Lake Salmac. Like, there are some really go-to destination travel points that are in our backyard. And so just want to encourage our community that, you know, go out, check them out, and you might be very pleasantly surprised. So the other piece is the new Family Night Live events that we have coming up for Tom Pierce Park. These are going to be really just a great night, an opportunity for the families in our community to get together and have a fun night by the river and, you know, make some memories together. And so, you know, and if you love camping, Indy and Mary, we've got a park host spot that's open. So would love to, you know, talk to somebody about that. But we've got a lot of people that are instrumental into the success, and we are heavily reliant on, you know, our volunteers who make up a big part of everything that we do. And we have just the most dedicated team that is out there. They just love the parks, and it shows.
Is there a number to volunteer, a phone number?
Yeah, you can just give a
call. Email.
Yeah, you can give a call to the main parks office line, 541-474-5285, and, you know, ask to chat with somebody, you know, let us know what you're thinking. And then, of course, you know, the fair, here we go. It's summer, folks, and so we're ready. And honestly, I just want to encourage people to get involved. We do have volunteer opportunities for the fair as well. It is a lot of fun, and I spend a lot of time even just talking to my friends going, this, once you do it the first time and get past a little bit of nervousness that comes along with it, you will look forward to it and love it. And so you don't have to be an expert. You just have to be willing.
All right. There you are. Ladies and gentlemen, Tamara Martin, Recreation Director, running the county parks and the fairgrounds. Good job, Tamara. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And to all of you once again, it is election day. Once again, when we started this morning, voter turnout was just over 26%. Let's get that over 40% at least, ladies and gentlemen. Fill out that ballot. You know, it's there on the kitchen table. Go pick it up and drop it off. And I think there are 7 or 8 boxes out there. There are places in Cape Junction you can drop them off on. But the key here is to vote. And hear your vote count tonight. Once again, we'll be on the air about 7:30 tonight from the fairground, Listen to me. I wish it was, we'll be at the county courthouse tonight at 7:30 to 8 o'clock, getting the earliest returns possible right here on KHAO Radio. Once again, this has been the Tuesday Talk Show. Thank you very much.
Jeff Gill.